Good evening. Good to see you again, my friends, and happy that you've made it back here tonight to hear another portion of God's most holy and divine word. I've really been enjoying myself and being in your company. This is really a beautiful congregation, and I am really happy about the campaign, the effort that is being made to go out and evangelize and knock on some doors and try to encourage people to be able to hear the word of God. Sometimes we get away from that within the Lord's church, but it's good to see that there is a congregation that still believes in that and still goes out to make a good effort in trying to pull that off. So thank you for your hard work and all that you have done for this campaign. We started this gospel meeting together on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we talked about the pitfalls of evangelism. And then after that, we went to the book of Acts for morning worship service. And the main question that we dealt with was the question that they put on the table in Acts chapter 2, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now that you know, what will you do about that? And then on Sunday evening, we dealt with the mystery of the church, where we talked about that there is one church that God has always prophesied and that Jesus has built that one church. On last night, we were able to dive into God's word again and to be able to look at some things that pertain to the Ethiopian eunuch as we talked about baptism and how all of that works together. And so on tonight, we'll try to answer a question that you hear all the time. Sometimes you hear it by the water cooler when you're at your place of work. Sometimes you hear it at the family reunion. This question comes up a lot. We'll try to answer this question tonight, or better yet, we won't try. We will answer this question on tonight. And the question that we'll be dealing with will be this: can we be saved by faith only? Can we be saved by faith only? What are we saying? Is faith the only thing that we need in order to be saved? Can we be saved by faith only? This beautiful book called the Bible will give us the answer to that question. We're going to tackle this in two ways. I'm going to show you several passages of scripture, and then after we do that, we'll find a story in the Bible that will answer that question: can we be saved by faith only? For our first scripture on tonight, we're going to the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When you get to Matthew, the 8th chapter, we're starting at verse number 28. Jesus has already calmed the raging sea. And after doing that, he makes his way over. And in verse number 28 and verse number 29, as we're dealing with can we be saved by faith only, I want you to look at these two passages of scripture. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? You may ask, what in the world does this have to do with can we be saved by faith only? Notice what happens in the text. In verse 28, the text says, and when he was come, that's Jesus, to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two that were possessed with devils. Two individuals met Jesus that day. They were possessed with devils. They were coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Notice what he does in verse number 29, or notice what the devils say in verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee? And notice how they addressed him. They called him by his name. What have we to do with thee, Jesus? Then they went a little bit deeper, and they identified exactly who he was. They said, thou Son of God. If you know that he's Jesus, and if you know that he is the Son of God, not only do you know that, but you believe that. You believe and you know that he is Jesus and that he is the Son of God. Who in the text believes that? The devils do. Well, now, if the devils believe that he is Jesus and that he is the Son of God, then it would be that they would be saved if it was faith only. If it was faith only, then these devils would be saved. Because clearly they announce in the text, his name is Jesus. Clearly they point out, you are the Son of God. It is not faith only. And if it was faith only, then these devils would be saved. Our next scripture that we're going to is the book of Mark. When you get to the book of Mark, you're looking for Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We're still going to be talking about devils. Not that I have a thing for devils, but we're talking about that for right now. And Mark chapter 1, and we're looking at verse number 23 and verse number 24. We're at the synagogue now, and notice what the text says in verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Again, we're talking about devils or demons who are announcing who Jesus is. In this text, in verse number 24, they said, "Let us alone." Then they continue, "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus?" They call him by his name. Then they actually told him where he's from. "Thou Jesus of Nazareth." Not only that, but the text goes on and says, "Art thou come to destroy us?" They knew his purpose. They knew that his purpose was to come and to destroy them. They even testify and say, "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Clearly, we cannot miss that. We have people who are possessed by devils in this context. They are announcing that his name is Jesus of Nazareth. They are classifying him as the Holy One of God. Not only do they know this, but they actually believe this. And if they believe this, then they would have to be saved if it was by faith only. If it was by faith only, then they would be saved. But it is not the case when we're talking about, can we be saved by faith only? There are other things that one must do. You're still in the book of Mark, and you're going over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, and we find Jesus there making a statement. In Mark chapter 16, we start at verse number 15. Jesus will give the commission here. And notice what he covers here, starting with verse 15 and ending with verse 16. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Here's the announcement. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Who are you going to preach it to? Every creature. That's everybody. Then he goes on and says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." What is Jesus saying? If you want to be saved, then he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You mean I just can't believe? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus is saying. Then he says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." And then there'll be people who'll say, "Well, you know what? Why is he putting emphasis on he that believeth not and not saying he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned?" Well, Jesus is saying this. If you don't believe, then quite naturally you won't be baptized. He already knows that if you will not believe, you will not be baptized. It's just like us saying this. He that has a job and goes to work will receive a paycheck. He that does not have a job will not receive a paycheck. I did not have to say he that does not have a job and does not go to work won't receive a paycheck. If you don't have a job, you're not going to get a paycheck. Amen. Jesus is clearly saying in the text, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the prescription. If we follow that, everything's going to work out fine. And then he says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." These are the words of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And he is ordering us to believe it and to be baptized. And when we complete that, we will become a saved individual. We see that in the text. He's not even teaching faith only in this verse here. Let's go a little bit further and we jump over to the book of John. John chapter 3. And we get to John chapter 3. We're going to start at verse number 1. And we'll cover all the way down to verse number 7. Ultimately, we're trying to make it to John 3:16. Because that's the scripture that you hear all the time on your job. That's the scripture that comes up a lot. But before we get to John 3:16, I want you to see what Jesus has already placed on the table before he gets to John 3:16. We are in John chapter 3, and notice verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Then Jesus begins to speak. Notice verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What is the topic of discussion? Being born again. The topic of discussion is being born again. Jesus tells us clearly in verse number 3, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus says, number 1, if you're not born again, you won't even see the kingdom of God. Then he backs it up with this, verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus now has placed this on the table. If we're not born of the water and of the Spirit, we will not enter into the kingdom of God. Is there a scripture in the Bible that we can find that shows that one can be born of water and of the Spirit? There is such a scripture. It's Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized. Baptized. In order to have a baptism, don't you need water? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't the Holy Ghost also the Holy Spirit? Could it be that one is born of water and spirit by obeying the gospel and being baptized? Jesus says clearly in the text, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We still haven't made it to John 3:16. Jesus has already laid the groundwork that this is something that you have to do. You have to be born of the water and you have to be born of the Spirit. We've got that before we get to verse number 16. If you were to start at verse number 1 and work your way all the way down to verse number 16, Jesus is having a conversation with one man, and it's Nicodemus. What are they talking about? Being born again. So before we reach 16, he's covered several things. Let's close out with verses 6 through 7, where he goes on and says this, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now drop down to verse 16. He basically says it twice, in 15 and 16, when he says, That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 15. Verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When people read this verse, immediately they say, The only thing that I have to do is believe. Listen, if you believe in Jesus, wouldn't you do what Jesus tells you to do? The fact that you say you believe in Jesus, doesn't that mean that you will obey Jesus? You mean we can believe in Jesus and then not do what the Bible says? That doesn't make any sense at all. If someone asks you, do you believe in Jesus, they also want to see something in your life. The fact that the Bible is saying here in verse number 16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When one believeth in Jesus, one actually is obeying Jesus. It's an act of obedience. We're at verse 16.
He has already spoken in verse 3 and verse 5 by laying the foundation, talking about being born again. He's already talked about you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. We've got to do that mixed with verse number 16 as well. It is not faith only. It never has been faith only for this New Testament teaching. We have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Yes, we have to believe in Jesus, but it is not faith only. If one believes in Jesus, you have got to obey Jesus. In other words, we're just talking a good talk and not walking that walk. Amen. We're just saying that we're a Christian, but we're not living like a Christian. If one believes in Jesus, he has to be obedient to Jesus. This belief leads to an act of obedience. It is not a one-shot thing that all I have to do is believe in him and it's over with. Remember, before you get to verse 16, take them to 3 and 5, where he's already laid the foundation in terms of what an individual must do. With that in mind, we take a big leap to the book of Acts. And we rest in Acts chapter 16 for tonight. And in Acts chapter 16, we'll meet Paul, we'll meet Silas, and we'll meet the Philippian jailer. We'll look at what takes place in this text. We'll look at the question that he asked them that day. And we'll look at the facts in terms of what happened to him that day when he wanted to be saved. We're going to take the long route because I'm a preacher and they always do that. We'll take the long route at verse number 19. And in verse number 19, there are some things that will set this story up that will help us out when we get to the end of this story. Notice what we have in verse number 19. So far, if we were to go to verse number 16, we find out that Paul and Silas are going through the city. They're doing many wonderful works. There's a lady following them around, divination of spirit. She's saying that they have the power of the Most High God. Paul gets mad over that. He then banishes that demon out of her. Her people who were in charge of her, who were using her to make a gain, they are angry now, and they're about to put Paul and Silas in jail. Verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And a multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. They have taken Paul and Silas. They have rent off or tore off their clothes. They have commanded Paul and Silas to be beaten. Notice verse number 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. We have Paul and Silas. They have been beaten. The text says clearly in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they beat these men so bad. Could you imagine what their back looked like? Could you imagine their skin being split apart because of the beatings that they have suffered? Could you imagine the pain that these two men are in at that time? They now are being placed in prison after that beating. The text tells us in verse number 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. In those days, when they put you in prison and then they put your feet fast in the stocks, they had a device that would close down over your feet and it would hold you there. Sometimes that device was made in such a way where it closed over your feet and you put your hands through and your head through and you were caught and you just stayed there. We have them now fast in the stocks. They are in the stocks in prison. The text clearly says to us in verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, these men are in great pain. They've just been beaten. They are uncomfortable. Their feet are fast in the stocks. But somehow they still love God that they're willing to sing praises to God. These are some good men. They're not in prison, moping and crying, saying, "We've been out there preaching the word of God, and look what happened to us." They're not saying that. It's at midnight. And what are they doing? They are singing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all their doors were opened, and every one's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. If we do our research, and we don't have time, but in Acts chapter 12 and verse number 18 and verse number 19, you'll find out that if a prison guard had lost his prisoners, he would lose his life. This man, when he wakes up out of sleep, he's already in trouble. Number one, he's sleeping. You know he's in trouble. He wakes up out of his sleep by way of this earthquake. When he wakes up out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But verse number 28 says this, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Could you imagine the look on that man's face when he heard that? You're thinking that everybody is gone. All of a sudden you hear a voice, do yourself no harm, we're all here. Could you imagine how happy he is to hear that? The text says clearly in verse number 28, he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. This man is happy. He goes in with a light. He sees that they are there. He's happy about this. He falls down before them. And notice verse 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the question. What must I do to be saved? This man who's been guarding them wants to be saved now. He asked the question, what do I need to do in order to be saved? Verse number 31, we start with the information that they give him. Notice what they say. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Some people will read that and they'll stop there. And some people will say, well, you know what? All you need to do is believe only. But you know what? Paul didn't even say that in that text. Paul didn't even say believe only. Paul says clearly, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, again, you're going to be obedient to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say. Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. That day they spake to him the word of the Lord. Apparently, if they're saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and all thine house, then they continue to speak words to him that came from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They're telling him other things that he has to do as well also. Notice verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. That word straightway means immediately. We have not lost our topic. We're still talking about, can we be saved by faith only? I want you to look at two words. It's one word that appears twice in a text. In verse number, go all the way back up, and you're looking now at verse number 23. In verse number 23, it says, and when they had laid many stripes, you may want to underline the word stripes. Drop down, going back down now to verse number 33. Verse 33 says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. You may want to underline the word stripes there. What does that have to do about this story and this man being baptized? Let's put this puzzle together. They told him that you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and all thine house. Then they spoke other words to him. Then the text says he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. That night the jailer took Paul and Silas and he cleaned them up. He washed their stripes. These men had been beaten so bad. Could you imagine what their backside looks like? Could you imagine this scene that this jailer takes the initiative that I need to clean you guys up because you have just been beaten unmercifully. And as he does that, the text says, and was baptized he and all his straightway. Apparently, belief is not enough. they baptized that man straightway, immediately the same night. This verse shows the importance of baptism. Think about it now. You've got Paul and Silas. Are they in pain? Yes. They have been beaten unmercifully. Could you imagine being beaten that bad and then you try to bend over a little bit and that skin opens back up again? Could you imagine the pain that these men are going through, but yet they feel the need to baptize this man? Couldn't they put this thing off until their backside heals? Couldn't they have said, you know what? Belief is all you need. We're in terrible shape right now. Our back is hurting. We're bleeding everywhere. All you need to do is believe, and you don't have to worry about this. You mean these men are in so much pain that they're willing to baptize a man even though their backside has been torn apart? This is the importance of baptism, that even though we are in pain, brother, you need to be saved. And if we're going to be hurting to try to administer this baptism, then we're just going to have to hurt. Because it is very important that you believe and that you are baptized. It appears to be that they're doing the same thing that Jesus said in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If belief only was the only thing that the Philippian jailer had to do, then why are we talking about baptism in this story? If it was just belief only, then they could have told him, being in pain, they could have sat down and said, listen, you just believe and that's it. Me and Silas are going to sit here and relax and get some rest. This belief will do it for you. But no, they had to get up and physically baptize this man and his whole house. All of his family members were saved as well. And they're willing to put themselves through that pain just to be able to save this individual? Yes, that's what a child of God would do. We would go as far as we possibly could to be able to make sure that they had salvation. It is not faith only. It never has been faith only in this New Testament teaching. When we have faith in God, it is an act of obedience. We have to do those things that God has said. Notice the other thing that we see in the text. In verse number 33, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You're looking at the word believe or believing twice. Notice verse number 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus. We have the word believe there. Drop back down to verse number 34. At the end of that, it says, believing in God with all his house. It's safe to say that baptism is included in believing in God. When you're going from verse 31 down to verse number 34, it is included in believing in God. If I believe in God, then I will obey God. If I believe in Jesus, then I will obey Jesus. Has Jesus said anything in terms of what I need to do in order to be saved? Yes, he has. Even in John chapter 8 and verse number 24, Jesus said, you'll die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. We know that we have to believe. But he also said this in Luke chapter 3 and verse chapter 13 and verse number 3. I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Same Jesus also said, we need to repent. He also talked about confessing. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And then he took belief and baptism and put them together. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If your argument is this, well, all Jesus said in John 3:16 is that whosoever believeth. He may have said that in verse 16, but there are so many other verses where he said other things as well in terms of what an individual must do in order to be saved. Is it faith only? it's not faith only. There are other things that we must do in order to have salvation. The jailer had to be baptized. He heard the word. He had to do these things. And as a result of doing that, not only was this jailer saved, but his whole house was saved as well. These men were willing to do everything they possibly could to make sure that this family was saved, even though their backside had been torn apart. Even though they were in excruciating pain, they knew that they had to do something for this family. It is not belief only in this story, and it is not belief only in any other story. We must be obedient to what thus saith the Lord. If we simply obey what Jesus says, heaven's going to be our home one day. But if we're not obedient to that, hell may just be our home one day. At some point, we have to make a decision. Either I'm going to follow the Bible, or either I'm just going to make up my own thing, or follow what other individuals has been teaching me. At some point, you're going to have to go back to the book and see what the book is actually saying. Can we be saved by faith only? No, we can't. But can we be saved by hearing the word, believing the word, repenting of sins, and making a mouth confession, and being baptized, and living a faithful life? Yes, we can, when we put all of that together. Is baptism more important than belief? No, it's not. Is belief more important than baptism? No, they're equally important. Repentance is equally important. Confessing is equally important. When you put them all together, you've got salvation. It's not that we're putting one above another. We're just actually doing what Jesus commanded us to do. I wonder if you're here tonight. And I wonder if you reached a point in your life where you surveyed your life and you tried to determine what it is that you need to do in order to be saved. What it is that you need to do to make sure that when it's all said and done, you're going to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If one wants to be saved today, the information's in the Bible. After we get the information, the question is, what will we do? Yes, we need to hear the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, we have to have faith and belief in God and belief in Jesus. And after that has been established, yes, we need to repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus still says, "I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." That's where you make up in your mind that you'll stop doing that which is wrong. You'll turn away from that and you'll come back to Christ Jesus. And yes, we have to make the mouth confession. Same confession Ethiopian eunuch made in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37. When he said that, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," we must make that same confession. And yes, do we have to be baptized? Yes, we do. In Acts chapter 22, the Bible reminds us in verse number 16, "And Ananias said to Saul that day, 'And now why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins.'" He told him what to do. Get up and be baptized. He told him what it was for. Washing away your sins. We can't miss that. Baptism is going to wash it away. You know what else it'll do? Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, "For as many as you've been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ." Baptism is going to put you into Christ. And according to Jesus, in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." The information is there. What will you do with Jesus on tonight? What will you do after hearing this information? You may hear it just one time. Please take advantage of it. Please answer the gospel call. You may not get another chance at this. This may be your golden opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. Once they immerse you in water and you come up, all sins are washed away. And what do you do from that day forward? Revelation chapter 2 and the latter part of verse 10. Jesus still says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Salvation can be yours tonight. Will you take it? Will this be the night that you leave here being a saved individual? And if you are here tonight, and maybe you simply stand in need of prayer, we want to encourage you to come as we all together stand and sing the song of invitation.